Well, it's so good to be back after this restful vacation in Mexico. No phone, no telephone. It was an awesome time. It's good to be here with you today. And there's something happening today that you probably don't know about. I mean, we got away from all the, you know, the economic troubles and the election troubles and all that. And I was so curious to know what was happening, but didn't have any of that stuff. But there's something, believe it or not, that's even more important happening today than election or economic woes or anything, and it's happening in our high schools, and it's happening with our high school girls. And so I just want to tell you that if you're not aware of this, you need to get up to speed really quick, because it is a movement that is quick and happening all across the United States, and it has to do with this right here. If we can get the picture there, Edward and Bella. How many of you women know about Edward and Bella? Look at this. Look around, folks. All these girls. Now, Edward and Bella is a story, a couple of people from a book called Twilight. See? Twilight. And they're going to make it into a movie, right? And it's going to be coming out when? I have three girls. I have not read this book. I don't know much about it. But all of a sudden, I'm in my room, and I hear this, oh my goodness, what's wrong? Is there a rat in the house or something? No, the next trailer for the movie's come out, and it's on the video. You can see it. I tell you, the women today, the young youth, the girls today in our high schools are on fire for this book, are they not? Are you girls on fire for this book? You are absolutely on fire. Yes, I see all these heads waving. That's exactly right. And I haven't seen anything like this in a long time. And the fact that I've got all these girls in my house makes it very prevalent in our household. Wouldn't it be cool to be on fire, to be so excited about something, to just fill up your heart with just joy and excitement and tell everybody that you know all about exciting things happening in your life? Well, today we're going to kind of conclude this part of the book of Acts. And we're going to talk about the church in Antioch. And the church in Antioch is on fire. They are on fire for Jesus. They're on fire for God. They're on fire for everything. And they are a church that is outside of Jerusalem. You'll remember in Acts that Jesus said, you're going to spread this good news everywhere to the ends of the earth. And now we're getting to the ends of the earth. We're getting to Antioch. And so this morning, I would like to spend some time in the book of Acts looking at the church of Antioch to see what was unique about them, that they were on fire, that our young girls are on fire, and how can we capture that fire, and how can we be a part of that fire even yet today. So we're going to start looking today in Acts 11, beginning at chapter 11, beginning at verse 19. And there are four things that I want you to consider this morning. And so you can read along with me, or it'll be up here on the screen also, I believe. Beginning at verse 19. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, telling the message only to Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. So here's the situation. Remember, we were in Jerusalem, and we've been kind of spreading out from Jerusalem, and now we are spreading out to one of the third. It was at the time of this writing, at the time of this happening, Antioch was the third largest city in the world. Very cosmopolitan, had 250,000 people. It's up north today. It's in Turkey. The city still exists. And you'll remember that they were being persecuted in Jerusalem. The Christians were being persecuted. Stephen had been stoned. And so a lot of the Christians said, okay, God, you want us to go out? We're going out. And so some of them went up north along the Mediterranean coast to a place called Antioch, one of the most cosmopolitan, richest, wealthiest places. It's the third largest city in the whole entire world, up in Antioch, and that's where they're going. And what's happening while they're there in Antioch is the people are so excited. They're telling everybody about Jesus. And we'll remember about last time how Peter said that the gospel isn't just for the Gentiles, it's also, or just isn't for the Jews, it's also for the Gentiles. And so these people that are going to Antioch, they have no question at all about telling everybody about the good news of Jesus Christ. They're so excited about it. They want to tell everybody. Now, what does that mean for us today? Well, the fact is that are you excited to tell people about Jesus? Do you have that excitement, that on-fireness that's in your life, and you're like, oh, I cannot wait to tell people about my God, about my Jesus, and what he's done in my life? Or are you not? Is Jesus just kind of a guy that you see on Sundays and some Sundays, but other than that, you never see him in your life? These people were so excited. They couldn't wait to tell people about the gospel of Jesus Christ. They couldn't wait to tell them. You know, the statistic shows that for people who are mature in their faith, who've been in the faith for a long time, those people, it takes 100 of them to find an adult conversion, to create an adult conversion. For people who are newly converted, who have gone from no Jesus and no faith to Jesus and faith, they're telling everybody. Do you know how many it takes? 3. I mean, statistical averages, it takes 3 of those people. And that's why churches that have a lot of adult conversions are growing like gangbusters, because these new converts, they're like, man, let me tell you what God is doing in my life. Now, some of you may have been converted a long time ago, many, 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 many moons ago. And you may have thought to yourself, how in the world can I ever regain that hope and that excitement about God? That's something you'll need to ask yourself. But let me tell you about God himself. He has not forgotten you. He is excited for you. He is just as excited about your conversion, whenever that was, as the day it happened, as today. He is a constant, ever-loving God, and he bought and purchased you with his own price, and he loves you. And his love for you, his passion for you, his on-fireness for you will never fade. The first mark from this book of Acts of Antioch is they were just on fire. They wanted to tell people about Jesus. And what was the result of that? We can see this last verse here. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. Then we'll continue reading in verse 22. News of this reached the ears of the church back in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. And when he arrived and saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. You see, when you are on fire, when there's a movement going on, when there's a new movie coming out, and you're excited about it, you're on fire from a people hear about it. It just kind of bubbles over. So here we are in Antioch, and something great is happening in Antioch, and the people back in Jerusalem are like, wow, we got to check this out. Now, we have no idea why they sent Barnabas. They sent Barnabas to Antioch to check him out. It could have been for several reasons. One is, are they doing things right? Do they know the right stuff? What's going on over there? Is this a good thing or is this a bad thing? So they went and they got Barnabas. Now, you may remember from earlier in Acts, back in chapter 6, Barnabas was the guy who sold everything, sold land and everything, and became a disciple of Jesus Christ. This man was on fire for God. And he goes to Antioch to find out what's going on there. And what is it that he's looking for? When he goes to Antioch, what are the key indicators to say God's at work here? When you look at the verse, what is it? News of this reached, and then when he arrived, he saw evidence of what? He saw evidence of the grace of God. When God's at work, there is God's grace. God's love, God's joy, and most importantly, God's grace. That God would send his only son to die for you, and that because you are his child, all of your sins, all of your pasts are forgiven. That's God's grace. And that's what they found in Antioch. when they moved to when Barnabas went to Antioch, he wasn't there with an iron fist. As a matter of fact, his original name was Joseph. But the disciples called him Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. He was a man who saw God's grace working in him, and so he went and encouraged other people. And how does that impact us today? Are we an encouraging church? Do we encourage the gospel and the mission to go out in all sorts of different places to all sorts of different people and do it in all sorts of different ways? Are we seeing God's grace there? And if we see God's grace there, we can know that the hand of God is there, because God's grace is key. So that's the second point of a church that's on fire, this church of Antioch. Point number three, we begin reading it, verse 25. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Verse 25. Barnabas is sitting here in Antioch and he realizes, hey, something is happening here. Something that is miraculous. This church is on fire and we've got to support this church. And you know, I can't do it all by myself, so I'm going to go and I'm going to get Paul. And Paul's in Tarsus. And Tarsus is just right across the bay from Antioch. And so Barnabas goes and he pleads his case before Tarsus and he's saying, Paul, you got to come. Antioch is the place to be. Now, what did Paul not do? Paul didn't say, well, that's not for me. I'm sorry, I'm kind of here and I'm going to do my own thing here. Paul gave up everything for a year and went down to Antioch to teach these new Christians, to spend time with these new Christians. Barnabas, who probably just came up from Jerusalem for a short time, said he's going to stay for a whole year, and both Barnabas and Paul stayed for a whole year in Antioch to be with these people, to educate them, to disciple them, to help this fledgling church grow. And folks, that took an incredible amount of sacrifice. An incredible amount of sacrifice on the part of Paul and on the part of Barnabas, but I'll tell you who else it took sacrifice. And that was the church in Antioch. Because to create a church out of nothing takes a lot of sacrifice. And we know this because just a few years ago, we were just a fledgling church starting from nothing to try to create a place and a presence here in Vail. And let me tell you, folks, a lot of people sacrificed for this congregation. Not only people in this congregation who have given their whole entire lives to be able to do things here in this congregation, but people throughout our synod, throughout the United States, who have given money like mite boxes that the LWML gives to help get this mission started so that people here in Vail can hear the great news of Jesus Christ. The third mark is sacrifice. Are you going to sacrifice your life for Jesus Christ? Let me tell you something. Jesus sacrificed everything for you. The fourth mark of the church, beginning at verse 27. And during this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. And one of them was named Agabus, and he stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. And this happened during the reign of Claudius. The disciples, each according to his ability, decided to provide help for the brothers living in Judea. And this they did, sending their gifts to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. So we have some people coming in from Jerusalem. They come to Antioch and they say, God's told us that there's going to be a famine in the land. And what did the church in Antioch do about it? Did they say, oh, we've only been here a year. We can't do anything about other people. We've got to look inside. We've got to grow our church. We've got to kind of take care of our own people. No. The people in Antioch, they said, there's a need, we'll fill it. There is something more important than us and down here in Antioch. There's something more important that we need to be doing. We're going to give of our money and we're going to go and we're going to support something else. We're going to go and support this famine that's going to happen. And so they sent money with Paul and Barnabas. And so the fourth mark of a church that's on fire is it is not inward focused. Almost immediately from the first year, they're looking out. They're looking for ways that God's showing them that they can be active and involved in this world, and they're filling that need. And today is LWML Sunday, and today we see all these ladies in purple shirts and who have been so involved in LWML, and that is exactly the mission of that group. It is not just inwardly focused, it is completely outward focused. Everything they do is to help spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Four things about this church that's on fire. They're telling everybody about Jesus. They're telling everybody so much that other people are looking. They are sacrificially giving of themselves for the sake of the gospel, and they're looking outwards. That is a church that's on fire for Jesus. My prayer for us as we move forward 5, 10, 15, 20, 100 years from now is that this congregation would never lose that. That we would always be on fire for Jesus. That we would always be excited to tell people about our God and what He's done in our lives. It's a wonderful thing to be on fire, and I pray that this church, through the power of the Holy Spirit, remains on fire. Now, on November 21st, we're going to have this movie about Bella and Edward. And all these girls are so excited because if you read these books, apparently this guy is quite a wonderful young man, right? He's powerful, he's smart, he's good looking, he's romantic. I mean, all the things that, guys, if you want to know about high school girls and what excites them, read these books. Emulate Edward and you'll be in good shape, because every girl wants to have an Edward in their life, I'm sure. I'm just guessing, but at least my three do. But let me tell you something. You've got an Edward in your life. You've got someone who's powerful, who's immortal, who's handsome, who can do all things, who's romantic. And his name is Jesus Christ. And he loves you so much that he died on a cross to save you. And he walks with you all the time, wherever you go. And never forget it. He's on fire for you. Are you on fire for him? In Jesus' name, amen. At this point,